Gosh, we haven't done this in a while. Who's behind the secret door? We have three guests that the producers have picked out. I have to guess who they are. I have three questions I can ask them, and if I can't guess, well, then I'll just give up. I've had a pretty good hit rate, so we'll see what happens. And then we'll conduct the interview for the first half hour, and then the second half hour of this hour, we'll open up the phone lines. You'll have an opportunity to talk to our special guest. So we have three of them for the next 3 hours, one an hour, and we'll start that in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with our first guest. Who's behind the secret door? First of all, let's obviously open the door. All right, and in they come. Hello there, whoever you may be.
Hi, George. It's so great to be with you tonight.
That's great to be with you, too. So I get to ask you three questions, then I'm going to guess who you might be, unless I can get it even quicker, okay?
That sounds great.
Have you been a regular guest on the show?
I have been with Coast to Coast and interviewed by you several times.
Several times, okay, over the course of a few years. Are you someone who dabbles in the paranormal?
Yes, absolutely, you could say that.
All right, and one more. When you're on and you get your phone calls, do you normally get a pretty big reception here of people?
Absolutely.
I'm going to guess that it's Karen Dolman.
No, this would not be Karen Dolman.
That's not Karen Dolman. Okay, now you got to tell me who you are.
Okay, well, here's a little hint. My husband calls you Lieutenant.
Your husband calls me Lieutenant. Boy, that's going to baffle me even more. Oh, my.
It's fun.
Does he call me Lieutenant to my face?
Yes, and we've done several events together.
Oh, Chase Klotzky.
Yes, it is. It's so
you were just on with us last week in our news segment.
Yes.
I Chase, I gotta tell you, you could have given me 22 clues, and I don't think I would have gotten you.
It's a big topic. How many UFO people do you have on?
God, yeah.
Exactly. We knew this would be a tough one.
Well, welcome. So behind the secret door, our first person, and I flubbed it. I missed it. I'm 0-for-1 already. We've got two more to go. But what we're going to do, we're going to chat with Chase up until the bottom of this half hour here, and then we're going to open up the phone lines to give you an opportunity to talk with her as well. So tell us, Chase, what have you been working on? What projects are you on these days?
You know, after moving to D.C., which I love, by the way, I am completely finding myself embedded in how D.C. works and the politics and, you know, just the flow of how things maneuver and get done in this area, because D.C. is different. And I've been putting a lot of time and effort in the politics of Washington, D.C., and also in the lobbying, because you do know that I'm a official registered lobbyist for the UFO field.
That's right, and we need that. We need many of them. You were on Beyond Belief with me when we talked about the elongated skulls and information about that.
Yeah, that was a great opportunity, by the way, and I had so much fun. But we have even more information that has come out since Beyond Belief. The DNA results really are changing a lot of the migration and timeline of the Paracas people, and really starting to solve the mystery of who they were and where they came from.
Well, it's an amazing phenomenon, and I miss the late Lloyd Pye, who was really into this in a big way too, Chase, as you know, but these are very strange indeed. Now, I got to tell you, last weekend, Tom and I were coming back from Beyond Belief. We were on the plane, and we saw a mother there with a child, and I swear to God, this child had an elongated skull. And, I mean, it was truly not a normal rounded head, and it was elongated. And we looked at this little baby going, that's one. There it is, right there. I mean, we couldn't take our eyes off this little kid. And I mean, it was a baby. And it must have been about the 3 to 4 months old. But truly strange. So anyways, what Tom and I talked about afterwards is there are some natural humans who have elongated skulls.
Yes, there are conditions where the shape of the head will naturally form in that way. And then there's another very modern syndrome out here, and it's flathead syndrome. And, of course, that's a very descriptive, short explanation of what this looks like. And that's for babies that spend a lot of time just laying on their backs, and moms are, you know, busy or working, and you know, they're not up enough. And this is actually a growing phenomena. And you'll see a lot of little kids between the ages of 10 months and 2 years with these little helmets on their head to help round the skull. So these are very formidable years for a lot of our bones, but especially the cranium and skull. And we also see this back in the ancient times, when we know that these, a lot of the cultures around the world were emulating something by manually creating this effect.
Chase, surgeons in India removed what they think is the largest brain tumor in modern day record, weighing 4 pounds, from a guy's head. It was as big as his head. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, some of the medical anomalies are stranger than fiction.
They really are. Now, also, let's talk a little bit. I was talking with John Alexander last hour about this Pentagon story about investigating UFOs. Now that you're in the D.C. area, is this something that you can really start tracking?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite thing was when this, you know, story broke and we found out that there was an active UFO investigation through the military right here at our Pentagon. And George, you and I know people that work there every single day, and they had no idea. So I love that, because the first thing, my first reaction was, oh, we're not so crazy after all. But, you know, my second reaction was just the realization of how compartmentalized a lot of, you know, the work in the military and government is and remains today. So being up here, there's a lot of inquiry. And truthfully, George, I'm learning, you know, we go back to the basics, follow the money. So that $22 million, that has really ruffled a lot of feathers up here at Congress. With, you know, some of our lawmakers, like Rand Paul and some of those that are really, really defiant on spending any kind of useless money. Well, we're going to use that to our advantage and ask them to help us find even more money in this direction.
You think you can?
Yeah, I don't believe for a second that they closed that program. And I believe that it's going to take a little work, and it's going to take some door kicking to get in there and demand, you know, just transparency on, you know, where some of our tax dollars are going. But I'm learning that this is the easiest way for someone like me as a lobbyist, without all the money behind me to wine and dine and influence. I'm just going to have to turn their or play by their rules, but use this against it or to push back using their same policies.
We're with Chase Klotzke. We're talking about elongated skulls, UFOs, and we're going to get into the hybrids in just a moment. She is our first person behind the secret door, and I did not guess who she was. I am 0 for 1. Normally, I'm 2 for 3 or something like that, but, boy, I missed this one.
And it's so much fun.
You didn't change your voice too much either. I should have caught on.
That's okay. I did a little bit because I kind of thought if I came on like I usually do, which is, you know, typically motivated and that cheerleader tone, you'd catch it right away.
So hybrids, you've been working on hybrids. Tell us, first of all, in your opinion, what is a hybrid?
Well, you know, I think a hybrid is something that's very, very possible. And I've actually been studying a lot more in our technology and AI types of innovation and invention. And when we see where a lot of this is going with nanotechnology, even in a medical realm, I see a progression of acceptance. If you had asked most of us 20 years ago, would we implant our body? Most of us, you know, were kind of raised with that Christian mentality and think, absolutely not. But then I'm noticing that if we're going to implant these foreign objects in our body to monitor and use it for health, who wouldn't use that advantage for a healthier lifestyle or a cure? And then you think of the future of this. Would you implant your children? And again, that's a scary, it's a very scary thought.
Oh, it is.
At the onset. But what if your kid was the only one not chipped, but all the others were gaining intelligence and they were smarter, faster, stronger, and your kid's now left behind? Would you do it then?
It sounds like the sign of the beast, though, doesn't it? You have to have something like this to survive.
Absolutely. And how are they going to, you know, implement a plan like this without, you know, people like us rearing up? And of course, it is going to be using, you know, the mindset that we don't want our children to not be as smart or as healthy or as strong. And it's terrifying, absolutely terrifying.
Indeed it is. Chase, let's talk about the possibilities that presidents are not told about UFOs. You're out there in Washington, D.C. now. Do you think someone like President Trump will ever get to the bottom of this?
You know, sometimes I feel when you really understand what's going on here and the inner workings, and I'm new at this, so I'm just beginning to get the sense of it. It is nothing what we're seeing on mainstream media. You know, you're going to hear the truth of the pulse on shows like Coast to Coast. And what I'm finding is Trump could very well be that renegade that has not been brought up, you know, kind of in the politics like a Bush that was director of CIA. And, you know, they have this long history of the politics or that swamp in D.C., where Trump comes in as a businessman and he's a disruptor. I think it's more possible with someone without that background of politics. However, I just don't believe that our presidents have much information on it. Why would we tell them? They're temporary employees, and truthfully, there's not really a need to know at this time.
Well, I'm sure they didn't know about this Pentagon study into UFOs. I mean, that
it absolutely rocked the House and Senate. They were more upset about the money. Seeing that the study of UFOs, they don't understand the national security implications as you think they would. All they saw was $22 million in the same light as the shrimp running on the treadmill. They see it as, why are we wasting, you know, taxpayer dollars and that much of it? Although $22 million isn't a lot of money in D.C.
Are you familiar with the work of David Jacobs, Chase?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, David is one of those who goes against the grain and believes that these visitations or these UFO arrivals are not very friendly. He thinks they're dangerous. What do you think?
You know, there's a lot of evidence pointing that way. We're not finding a lot of evidence of helpfulness. We see more of a surveillance type scenario when we're really studying, you know, the objects coming in. When we talk to contactees or, you know, a more familiar word, abductees, sometimes we get a different picture. But to be honest, George, I'm not seeing a lot of evidence that these people, their lives are changed for the better.
Well,
you know, sometimes, like in the case of, you know, in the beginning, mostly they were terrified. They called them demons. And it's just after a while, there's almost an acceptance. However, we hear from many people that they were good experiences. So I'm kind of on the fence. I still don't think we have enough probative evidence or admissibility on either side of the equation because we're still trying to figure out who are they and what do they want.
Well, absolutely. But maybe we'll get some answers one day, Chase. And with researchers and investigators like you, I think we will get the answers sooner than later. But it's interesting that this universe may be full of entities that are like us, where not all of them are very friendly. They're, you know, they hate, they kill, they do whatever they do. You would think that once you reach a higher level of intelligence, as they should have, that things will be calmer. I don't think they are.
I think, again, that some of the possibilities out there is what direction, you know, your species has taken. In the case of us, we could have taken a more enlightened view instead of nuts and bolts technology. And it seems like we focused in on money, commerce, and technology versus the enlightenment of, you know, just caring for one another as humans on a planet. And I can easily see that other civilizations have done that.
Well, that could be too. Chase Klotsky with us. We're going to take calls with Chase in just a few minutes when we make the turn at the bottom of the half hour here. She is our first person behind the secret door, and as you probably know, I missed it. She's got a book out called Admissible, the Field Manual for Investigating UFOs, Paranormal Activity, and Strange Creatures. Tell me about these strange creatures. What are they?
I love investigating things that are not supposed to exist. And, you know, when we talk about strange creatures, we get reports all over the world of people seeing giant dogs or Bigfoot-like creatures or, you know, chupacabras. And they're just very interesting. And honestly, George, I know that you believe this too. I hope that we don't know everything yet. I hope there's still mysteries that we can follow and solve and dig into and be inspired by.
I'm sure there will be, Chase. You know what's interesting too? Somebody was saying this last week on the program that we know more about space than we do our own planet.
Absolutely. Looking at what we don't know about our own oceans and what's below that, it's probably one of the best examples.
It really is. It's baffling. There are probably creatures down in the depths of the ocean that are truly remarkable. You know that?
Yes. And I really want to, really would like to find evidence of this. I think our field of unknowns or mysterious creatures and the paranormal and even UFOs, we could use a break. We could use a grand discovery.
We need a home
whatever
run.
Whatever that may be.
Yeah, we need the big story somehow. And it's got to be more than just the Pentagon studied this. We need some actual cases that people need to look at.
You know, George, I worry about that a little because we also know that when our work like this goes into a private sector, we're no longer able, there's no accountability to the public when it goes into a private sector. I'm not all on board that this is the greatest thing that's happened to ufology in a while, with some of these private people, you know, taking this UFO information. You know, we've seen in the past with, you know, other aerospace companies like Bigelow, where they have massive amounts of information, have completely embedded themselves, and they've given us not one sentence.
We're going to come back in a moment and take phone calls with Chase before next hour, where another person will come in from behind the secret door. Chase Klotsky with us, who's behind the secret door. Tom, by the way, has told me that I can have more than three questions to take my guess. So I'll take advantage of that, too. So we have our own YouTube channel. You can watch it and view it and listen to it by going to coasttocoastam.com right there at the top. Click the YouTube icon or in the YouTube search page, type in Coast to Coast AM Official, something like that, Coast to Coast AM Official. And we are back. We will take your calls. Chase Klotsky with us behind the secret door. She was guest number one. Chase, next week, Linda Moulton Howe, our investigative reporter, is going to have a series of reports specifically on President Nixon hiding an E.T. time capsule in the White House containing E.T. UFO disclosure material. It's an incredible story. Have you heard about this story before?
I have, and I am really looking forward to hearing more about what Linda has uncovered on that. I'm a fan of her work. She's one of the trailblazers that has been doing this before it was cool, so to speak.
Yep, she sure was. She was way ahead of her time, and she continues to open up new doors, that's for sure. Speaking of doors, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really looking forward to that. But this is kind of cracked a little conspiracy. There's a lot of almost that when Nixon was leaving the office, he defiantly kind of wanted to leave something in smacking in the face of those, you know, that he felt kind of booted him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting take. Let's take some calls here for you. Dan in Alaska, first-time caller. Hey, Daniel, go ahead.
Yes, sir, George. How are you doing?
Good, Dan. Thank you.
I want a very interesting guest tonight. I wanted to talk to you about Detroit and St. Louis, but tonight I wanted to ask about a 2012 incident, George, where the U.S. Navy and the Chinese Navy were chasing down some kind of giant UFO. It was on unsealed documents.
Oh, really? Submersibles, I guess? They were underwater?
No, I'm not sure. They didn't state, see? And then also in 2013, George, in Moscow, Idaho, the U.S. government, for the first time ever, took up 9 counties, I'm told, and staged a alien chemical attack.
Just to state, Chase, had you heard of any of those episodes?
Actually, not specifically. However, we continue to hear reports just like that almost yearly. They're unsubstantiated. A lot of these are allegations that we can't tell sometimes if it's just rumor or, you know, something we can only get so far before that door just slams shut and it's steel. We can't even kick it down. So some of these reports, especially with what our caller is talking about, are difficult.
Yeah, though this one was not a submersible, those are incredible stories where sailors have seen brightly lit UFOs underwater traveling near the ships.
Yeah, and we have a lot of those types of reports, absolutely.
You know, Chase, since you've been doing this, how did you get involved in all this in the first place? You're certified as a private investigator, but how did the UFOs and the elongated skulls and all that, how did that all come about for you?
You know, it started with reading a book by Eric Von Daniken and, of course, Chariots of the Gods. And
sure.
I was struck as a teenager that you didn't have to just swallow mainstream commentary or, you know, education, that there are some of us out here that maybe have bigger questions or think differently and are bold enough to stand up and ask a question like, hey, wait a minute, could these be astronauts? George, it astounded me. It was the first time I even knew you could do something like that. So that really inspired me to kind of keep an interest in the topic. And then, of course, I've taken everything I possibly can to become a better investigator. And that led to, you know, private investigation training. And even more recently, I've obtained an international forensic and property or evidence and property certification, which now I have a letter that makes me or allows me to be an expert witness in any court of law, and not just on UFO reports, any forensic evidence. It was a difficult course to take, and I finally passed and got that certification. But I've always felt that investigators need to own the title. You need to take responsibility for that. And when our witnesses call us, we're all they have. So let's be good. Let's be diligent. Let's do our job out here.
Now, you're on the special assignment team for MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. What is that? Is that a team that's assigned to a case if something breaks? What is the special assignment team?
Yeah, you're absolutely right on, you know, it's kind of breaking stories, but it's a team that we put together more as a task force. So when you have a normal police department, you don't take your people off the streets. They're needed. They, you know, that's a very important frontline job. But sometimes when you have the high profile cases, serial rapists, murders, something like this, they'll call in a task force. And that's what we've developed in MUFON for very sensitive or highly complicated cases that are just going to take more than, you know, the standard 90-day window to finish.
Indeed. Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hi, Bear.
Hello there, George. What a pleasure to talk to you. And Chase, I'm telling you, girlfriend, you are just a delight to hear talk.
Oh, thank you, Barry. Thank you.
But listen, George, before I ask Chase a quick question, you remember last time you and Tommy played this game? Ian Punnett made you look...
Oh, my gosh. He was good, wasn't he?
He had you going for 10 minutes.
Yep.
I couldn't figure it out.
Had no idea who he was.
I know it. I couldn't believe it. And Ian, I miss him. I loved it when he was a host part-time.
Yeah, I just had him on last week as a guest, you know.
Oh, darn, I missed him.
Yeah, he's got some new workout. But anyways, go ahead with Chase.
Yeah, well, Chase, I'm interested. I heard you say when you first came on that there's something fairly new that just happened around the Pentagon with UFOs, and can you give me some information on that?
Okay, that's an older story. It's about a month old now, but go ahead, Chase.
Yeah, it was the story that broke from the New York Times that there actually a group of people employed by the Department of Defense that were actively investigating UFO reports for the government. Now, this is all while denying any interest or involvement in UFO studies at all. And it was just the best announcement ever. We all felt maybe a little bit of vindication, but when we've been talking about the conspiracies that we knew the government was interested, we knew they still were investigating and interfering with what we're doing out in the field, you know, you get the eye roll sometimes that we were conspiratorial. And the truth is, we were on it, we knew what was going on, we knew who they were, and they were absolutely doing what they denied doing all this time.
Chase,
it was awesome.
Investigators found some 10,000-year-old etchings in India on rocks that were unbelievable. They showed spacecraft and extraterrestrial-looking creatures that I think you would only make if you saw them. I don't think somebody had a vivid imagination to create those things 10,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing?
It is, George. And that this, to me, is probably... it may be a bigger story, maybe not for the public, but for, you know, ufologists, you know, like ourselves, we've been doing this long enough that although the government denied looking into this, we already knew this was happening. So it was great when the announcement came out. But for me, the discovery of a 10,000-year-old cave with the same drawings that our witnesses are giving us today.
Yes.
I mean, there were grays. They were showing mantis. Tall whites, the types of craft in this 10,000-year-old cave are some of the reports we're getting exact. To me, this is a big, big story, and I'd love to get out there and start some forensic work. Oh, my God.
I there's no question that the more they dig, they're going to realize that this planet has been visited a number of times, still probably is, I think, but... probably seeded too. I think Zechariah Sitchin's work of the Anunnaki coming down here, genetically altering the creatures that were on the planet, and here we are. I think he was probably spot on. What do you think?
Well, you look at think about the Sumerian tablets and some of the ancient documents that were left for us. I find it very hard to believe that there would be so much protection or, you know, so much effort in protecting these documents for a fairy tale. You know, I believe that this very well could be our ancient history, you know, and of course it goes against mainstream science, and anything that goes against the Darwinian theory, you get a heavy pushback from the scientific community. which I never understood, George, it's a flawed theory in the fact that it has a missing link. It doesn't even fit the scientific criteria that they hold us to today. There's a missing link. It's bizarre. It's bizarre how this has become our staple.
Chase, what is the soonest you've been on a scene of a UFO sighting when somebody called it in?
Absolutely, within in probably 90 minutes. And that was in a case in Tennessee where most of the time, in fact, almost every time, we're there after the fact. We're there to, you know, collect trace evidence, eyewitness testimony, canvas, check out the area of interest. But every once in a while, we get lucky and we get there and, you know, something happens where the investigators become witnesses. And we never expect that because almost every time, you know, we're there behind the scene. So when these things happen to you and you're actually witnessing something yourself, it's shocking and remarkable.
We've got a live stage show coming up in April in Scottsdale, and Travis Walton, Fire in the Sky, is going to be one of our guests. And that guy tells such an incredible story.
He's one of my favorite. And out of the UFO reports and things we have out here, he's one of my favorites because the part of his experience that I love the most, he never came back and said he was abducted by aliens. That is never out of his mouth. All of this was done before he was even returned. So when he comes back 5 days later, this story about a UFO, you know, took their friend and, you know, and that whole story is just incredible. And
they passed lie detector tests, all of them.
Yes, yes. This poor man has been through the ringer to try to satisfy, you know, that public scrutiny or even, you know, just harshest critics. And, you know, we have those debunkers that come at us hard. And if you can't kill the story, George, you take out the witness, you take out the people behind the story. So this has been done to Travis so often, and we're fortunate that he continues to muster that courage, you know, to stand up and just tell the truth.
Final call for Chase, Raymond in Fresno, California. Hi, Raymond, go ahead.
Yes, my Gemini friend, I'm born one day before you.
Well, we have birthdays coming up pretty soon.
Yes, we do. George, with all the little tiny airplanes that they're finding that's millions of years old, isn't it obvious that we have grown in technology and then destroyed ourselves?
I think so, too. I think this planet has reached an incredible pace of technology, and then they did something. They blew themselves up. They had wars. Something happened to them, and we started all over again. I think
George, we're getting ready to do that
again
with these AIs, right?
We're going to do it all over again.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to. I know there's more callers, but God, George, I miss you.
Be well. Be well. And Chase, what do you think of that? Do you think we had past high technology?
Yes. And it's very difficult to stand in areas like Pumapunku and see the amazing engineering that is so evident that there's no way that this was done with chicken bones and copper tools. And stand in a place like this and the reality that there have been reset buttons in our past a couple of times is very, very true. And including the flood, there's geological evidence all over the place that there was a horrific and gigantic deluge.
Would you give out your website, Chase?
Yeah, it's so easy. It's just chasekletsky.com.
Better spell your last name for everybody.
It is KLOETZKE. And I'm on social medias and Twitter. I love to tweet. So if you follow me, I follow you back.
And we'll get a link up at coasttocoastam.com now that Lex knows that you were also behind the secret door, which was a fun time, Chase. Any events coming up for you?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be hitting France and
Sounds
Israel,
good.
Also going to Jordan. You know, I have I'm speaking at Ozarks at the UFO Ozark Mountain
oh, great.
Conference. A place that you and I have been to with Tommy many a time.
That's a great place. I miss the late Dolores Cannon, but her daughters have taken over the event, and they're doing great with it. Thank you, Chase. Up next, another Who's Behind the Secret Door guest.